But eventually, you got to pick yourself up. And if you have a family to feed like I did, I refused to take it laying down. And that's when each layoff gave me a little bit more information about how my future would look like if I took charge of my own happiness. So my first layoff, it gave me an opportunity to explore other avenues within tech. My second layoff, I realized that my skills were outdated and that I needed to be constantly on track with the market, with the trends. So I needed to constantly be upskilling. My third layoff, I realized how powerful LinkedIn is and the community that you build with your network. And my fourth layoff, well, I just feel that was purposeful towards my journey, the discovery of happiness, the discovery of my purpose, the discovery of my mission.
The idea of job security is outdated as a landline. If you haven't been in a search for a while, it's probable you will at some point, by choice or not. Most executives admit to staying way too long or sense what's coming and justify staying anyway. Here, there's another reason. The faulty belief that navigating to what's next will inevitably be worse and has to suck. Screw that. Lauren Greif has spent a lifetime in corporate and executive search, calling bullshit on stale career advice that most still use. This is Career Blast in a Half, the career podcast for executives ready to cut past outdated career advice to fuel your outcomes now. So let's go.
Oh my goodness. We have to do a podcast and stop laughing. It's almost impossible to stop laughing and smiling,
right?
when you're in the studio. I don't even know what to do. Anthony Tsevelis, you're like known for your bow ties. You're also known for making work environments happier places to be. You're also here to talk about your blueprint, and I'm so excited for that and all the speaking engagements that you are clearly gracing the stages with.
Thank you.
But also what I want to know is, how did you get here? I mean, you're like a cloud software guy who also is a fashionista, who has like a love for pasta and food, like all these completely unrelated things. And I would love for you to start off as an introduction, just connecting some of those dots and how it led you to the happiness path that you're on now.
Sure. Well, first of all, thanks for having me on the show. I've been so excited to get on here, and I'm just so ecstatic. So to start it off, quick rundown, I was in fashion for about a decade. And here in Canada, the fashion industry imploded and I had to fend for my family. I was dead broke. And so I got into the tech side because a friend of mine told me how much money he was making. So I could not say no because it was a great way for me to get back up on my feet and be able to provide for my family. So I went back to school, got an education, and spent a year at a community college. And 6 months after I graduated, I got my first tech job. So that led to me dabbing in the waters of like all kinds of different things when it came to systems administration, when it came to cloud. I eventually got into cloud. And that was my second layoff. I decided I was going to upskill. So I went to cloud. And because it was the hottest skill at the time, I was like, let's do it.
May as well.
Yeah. And then afterwards, I went into cloud engineering. I got into DevOps engineering. And then I got into cloud training because I was doing so much learnings that it just became a part of me. And so I could not ignore it. Eventually, after my fourth layoff, yes, I know, I've had a lot of them. But after my fourth layoff, I decided that I was going to run with my own company.
Okay.
And started to do cloud learning from there. After a couple of years, I was feeling lonely, as a content creator does. And that's when I decided to get back into the industry. But instead of dealing with the tech side, I decided that I wanted to deal more with people because I love people, as you can probably already tell.
Well, what I love about this piece of your story that is so invaluable is I don't hear you kicking and screaming, whining and moaning about the fact that these layoffs happened. Now, I'm not going to say you were doing backflips and you were celebrating necessarily in the way that we might think happiness looks like.
Mm-hmm.
But what I also know, and I know a little bit about you and I'm learning so much more, which is wonderful, is that a lot of this is a choice, right?
It is
a choice. And even while you were on LinkedIn this morning and tying your bow tie and doing a video at the same time, it's one of the things that you talked about, right?
Is to choose it.
And so I am curious, as you're going through layoff one, layoff two, layoff three, layoff four, what did you learn about choosing happiness and how were they different at each one of those pivots? Because I'll tell you, there are a lot of people that once they get laid off, and myself included, I fell into a deep depression. I was choosing the couch.
Choosing. It's natural that anyone getting laid off will have those feelings, and we're all entitled to it. We're humans. Of course, we're gonna feel a little bit of depression, and we're gonna go into a slump. But eventually, you got to pick yourself up, and if you have a family to feed, like I did, I refused to take it laying down. Mm-hmm. And that's when each layoff gave me a little bit more information about how my future would look like if I took charge of my own happiness. So my first layoff it gave me an opportunity to explore other avenues within tech. My second layoff, I realized that my skills were outdated and that I needed to be constantly on track with the market, with the trends. So I needed to constantly be upskilling. My third layoff, I realized how powerful LinkedIn is and the community that you build with your network. And my fourth layoff, well, I just feel that was purposeful towards my journey.
You want more happiness, get more layoffs.
Yeah. The discovery of happiness, the discovery of my purpose, the discovery of my mission. You know, and sometimes life throws these things at you because it's saying, you're not supposed to be doing this. You're supposed to be doing something else. And you're going to get laid off because you're being pointed in a different direction. So sometimes, you know, it sucks that it happens, but it's also a blessing in disguise. And we have to look for those learnings and those blessings to be able to accept the fact that, yes, this has happened and this has happened for a reason.
I know. I mean, like, this is true, but when you're going through it, there is no cliche out in the universe that is ever going to soothe that feeling. And why I'm talking about this also with you specifically is because the resiliency of being able to rebound into happiness rather than depression isn't about toxic positivity.
No,
I really, really, really want to make sure that people understand that we're not just talking about, like, smack that smile on your face and, you know, go about the world as if, you know, you were just on some kind of happy pill. Because That's that, no. It won't be genuine, number one. And number two,
true.
I would like you to provide the distinction between what it is to play happy and choose happy.
Mm.
So, and I'd love to tie it back into, you know, the whole, my whole journey. When it came to happiness, I didn't really know it at the time. And I'll share that story in a few minutes with regards to Bow Tie Wednesday. But I think what had happened over time is when I was resilient the first time, it showed me what was possible. And so when it happened, when my layoff happened the second time, I knew that things are going to be okay because I did it before. I did it once. Why can't I do it again? And I think my biggest inspiration, if you will, was the fact that I went from fashion to tech. I mean, who'd have thunk, right? So going through that actually gave me the resilience to understand that I'm able to do this. And if I'm capable of doing this, so many others can as well. And this is where inspiration is part of the happiness blueprint, where we look towards creating small, achievable goals because we get inspired, right? We're on LinkedIn all the time and we see these people, you know, oh, I got this certification. I just passed this course. We get inspired. Oh, so what happens when we do it ourselves? It's a supercharge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 100%. So the other thing about happiness, which always amazes me, and it's kind of a little backhanded, is it's hard to know what happiness is without the contrast of knowing what it isn't. So
yes.
A lot of that deductive experience tells us, wow, you know, I used to be in this spot and now I'm over here. And that also is very inspiring and uplifting. People love an underdog. People yes. love to root for the person who isn't necessarily on top right now and then have the opportunity to root them on. And I do feel so much that it's important to have other people who have done their fair share of face plants and then got up. No wonder why we're friends. So bring us into here you are, fourth layoff. And now I know that you've just gone through some huge, huge, huge changes. And how is it and how can other companies, other people join in this bow tie happiness workplace blueprint?
So,
because what I understand is it's really not something that is ground in stone or formulaic, right? It has some agility to it. So help us understand.
So over time, I have realized that I have been, I guess you could say that I've been experimenting. And I've been using activities that I call positivity experiments to touch on different elements that I have found that brings not only happiness in teams, but brings happiness to oneself. And, you know, part of that was, as I was saying, inspiration. But where it all started was a reflection on what I've been doing in the past. And how it came to be was when I was working in tech, specifically just before I got into cloud, I was working in a basement and I was feeling pretty shitty. I was coming in every day. I was pretty gloomy and I hated feeling this way, Lauren. I hated it. I didn't want to feel this way. I wanted to feel happy about coming into work. And so naturally I did what any fashion designer would do. I went and I seeked retail therapy. And I went down to the local marshals, and I was looking at ties. And I came across this bow tie. It was a green check bow tie. And it brought a smile to my face for the first time in like a couple of months. And I was like, this is it. So that Tuesday night, I bought a bow tie, bought that specific bow tie. And the next morning I said, I'm going to go in wearing this bow tie because it brings me happiness. It makes me feel, again. So I walked in with this big grin on my face, big bow tie, and I'll never forget the woman that first approached me, or the first woman that I saw, first person that I saw, and she said to me, Anthony, what's with the bow tie?
What's with the bow tie?
And I said, well, it makes me happy, and I thought I'd wear it today. What do you think? She's like, yeah, it kind of makes me feel happy too. And over the course of the day, not only were people asking me about my bow tie, but they were also feeling that sense of happiness. And so I vowed that in order to keep this momentum, this grandiose idea of happiness alive, I thought that every Wednesday on hump day, I would wear a bow tie to spread that happiness. And sure enough, as time went on, other people started to wear bow ties, people started dressing up, and it was a happy day. It was that bow tie was the catalyst to happiness every Wednesday, and eventually became the happiness and became the catalyst to happiness every single week, because it led us into the weekend, and it was no longer a gloomy place to work. And over time, I started wearing a bow tie every Wednesday to commemorate that sense of happiness, not knowing that it was a positivity experiment in its own.
I got a gift for you. That's why we took this quick break. So here's the deal. Go ahead, click the link below. You're going to get the free ebook called Unlocking the Hidden Job Market. And just so that you know, the hidden job market, that's where 80 to 85% of the opportunities are and where the highest quality candidates are found. So in this ebook, you're going to get a blueprint to score faster referrals, more enthusiastic referrals that lead to face time with the companies and the roles you really want and want to align to. Plus the same 6 exercises that we use with my private clients to build your roadmap to career mastery. So if you want to access the hidden job market where the highest quality candidates go, just click the link below and we've got you all set. So let's get back to the show. Let's talk about this experiment. Let's talk about what's happening in the lab and what is also materializing in real life and the chemistry that is going to be causing in cultures across the world. Because this isn't just like this little idea. This is so important. And I'd love you to talk about happiness that you are going to be sharing from your blueprint and on the stage as if this was a live audience and we are all just taking our seats. And what do we need to know? Because let's just face it, I need to caveat this one.
Okay.
There are a lot of people that are not skipping to work on Monday, right?
That's so true. So true.
And they're not, if they are skipping to work on Monday, maybe by Thursday or Wednesday, they're like, okay, how much more time is it until the weekend's going to show up and I can get out of this place? So,
right.
What are you doing to address this and maybe even change it?
So over time, Lauren, I've come to realize that there are certain elements through my studies of positive psychology, emotional intelligence, and studying the ways of the centurion. I've realized that there's these certain elements that really are key to our happiness. And that is inspiration, It's mindset. It is power. So empowerment of people. Alliance, which is all about relationships. C for care, which is all about psychological safety. And then there's transformation, because we have to measure what it is that we're doing. Are we doing good? Do we need to scrap it and start over? So when you put that all together, it becomes the impact model. Mm-hmm. And because it's different for every person, for every team, for every organization, it becomes their own blueprint. Mm. So that's the happiness blueprint in a nutshell.
Like a fingerprint.
Yes, exactly. And it was derived all from a leader who actually told me that the reason why he hired me, or why he wanted me on his team, was that I brought happiness to the environments that I was in. I brought positivity to the environments that I was in, and he wanted that for his teams. Mm. And it made me reflect. He also asked me, he's like, what is your secret to constantly being happy? Right. And I couldn't give him an answer at the time, but through reflection, I realized that every single part of the impact model, I have gone through myself.
Mm.
And not realizing I was designing this for teams, when in reality, it was just a reflection of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And sure. When it comes down to it, we can't change people. We cannot change teams, but we can change ourselves. And when we change ourselves, we start to model what happiness, what positivity looks like for other people. And when they feel that joy, when they feel that sense of happiness, they want in. They're bought in. Why are they going to look for anything else?
This is so hitting me between the eyebrows. And part of it is because I'm very open about this. My personal story is, you know, I'm recovering alcoholic. I have nearly 19 years in May. And I remember when I first came into the program, and I was like all pissed off. Oh, you know, they don't understand me. And if only they would just change this and do that. And somebody said to me, why don't you just be an attraction, not a promotion? Yes. Why don't you just act better and stop doing X, Y, and Z? And guess what? Your life is going to get better. And I was like, But thankfully, I was so good and desperate. And I also had a lot of accountability partners around me. So they were like, oh, that's not really an attraction. So I had some good police people. And what I know today, and I think in my world, the highest compliment I've ever gotten is somebody said that my nickname should just be called Good Aura. And I was like,
I love that. I love that for you, Lauren.
I'll take it any day, because I don't really want to be that person. And guess what? For all of you listeners, I'm not going to take away your feelings, and nor is Anthony, no. Never. But I will tell you, it's not fun to be around.
Yes. And, you know, that's a great point that you brought up, Lauren, because I was talking about that today. Everyone is going to have a shitty day because we are humans. You can't be happy all the freaking time. I have my bad days. You know, somebody mentioned to me, oh, I remember the time when you were hangry. Yeah, I'm a nasty person when I'm hangry. Don't feed me any food for a while and see what happens.
Right. I want to get back to the stage. And I want you to be on stage right now. And I want you to share with me the message that you're delivering to catalyze happiness in the workplace, and both the upside of what can happen and the downside of what happens if you don't do it.
Okay, well, when it comes to happiness, in the end, we're looking at what value does it bring your organization? And when we think about happiness from an organizational level, we think about high performance, we think about communication on all levels, we think about major collaboration and innovation. All these things are so important to companies. And so when the employees show up and they're happy to come to work, not only because they're doing cool things, leadership, you know, gives them the freedom to be able to do what they need to do, but because they work with people who feel the same way. Now, all of a sudden, you're in a relationship with people that care about what they do, and they're reveling in those Mondays, those nasty Mondays that you're talking about. People are looking forward to it. Yeah. Now, if you look at things on the other end of the spectrum, when people are unhappy, there's high turnover. There is people quiet quitting. You know, we talk about quiet quitting a lot. And there's actually a Gallup study saying that 77% of people globally are quiet quitting. They're just showing up for a paycheck. It is insane. And it made my heart drop a little bit because I was like, people are working for the weekend.
Oh, and, completely.
And that's no good. Quality drops, attention drops. People aren't innovating. People are just looking at the clock, waiting for time to run out so they can go home. And all they're doing is collecting that paycheck so they can pay their mortgage.
All right. I got to stop you right here because I have a very important question.
Sure.
So pretend that you're in the job search and you're going to go back into a company. And you say, right, alignment is really important to me. Values are really important to me. Mission is really important to me because all these things, they create a level of fulfillment and happiness. Now, how do you source for that? How do you check yourself when the going gets tough and the tough gets going and it's month after month after month, and now you're thinking, you know, that happiness thing, it's not so important. I got to put food on the table. I got to get this job going. So when push comes to shove, how do you prioritize happiness so that you aren't one of those people who's going to go back in and work for the weekend?
That's a great question, Lauren. And I've asked myself that many, many times. There are times where values didn't align. Company values did not align with mine. And I quit on the spot. Like we're talking, I'm 6 months in and I'm out. Sorry, we're done. I don't have a backup plan, but I refuse to live like this. Now, I know a lot of people don't have the luxury of doing that, or they don't have the confidence or skill sets to be able to just pick up and go. So what I would say to those people is, ask yourself, what am I here to learn? This moment is a learning opportunity. What am I supposed to be learning in this moment? When you find out what it is that you're supposed to learn, that's when things will turn. It's happened to me every time, Lauren. When you find out in those difficult situations, your learning opportunities, magically, things happen as they are supposed to. Either a job will show up, you'll get a promotion, things will happen in your life because you've spent the time to understand why are you there.
Yeah, it's like the chapter is completed, right? It served its purpose. It did what it was supposed to do.
So, and the the hardest thing to do is to stand in the fire and look at why you're there. And taking that time to actually reflect and see all those learnings, that's the hardest part. But what comes out of it is the resilience that I was talking about earlier. And that resilience, it gives people courage and confidence. So that way, the next time that that happens, they're able to be in the moment, analyzing what has happened and being aware, being self-aware of right. what's going on.
And then the happiness has more power than the non-happiness.
Exactly, exactly.
Right? It kind of tips also, the scale.
Yeah, and also people start to realize what matters to them.
Mm.
Some people, they're working 10 hours a day, not because they have to, but because they want to climb up the corporate ladder. But then you have to ask yourself, is the corporate ladder more important to me than spending time with my child that's growing up, that's going to the park without his daddy? And he's saying, "Daddy, please come to the park with me. Sorry, I got to work." I'm using this as an example because that's exactly what happened to me. I was too busy working to realize that my family needed me. My child needed me. He, you know, every daughter needs their mother. Every son needs their father. And I was being an idiot at the time. And I said, no more. I refuse. Family should always come first. And these are my values. Other people may have other values, but for me, family is always first. And I will do whatever I can to protect that, to uphold that, and to make sure that I uphold my end of the bargain as being a father, as being a husband, and a loving parent.
Yeah.
And that's what makes me happy.
I was going to say.
And that's what brings me the joy that I have with my family.
All the rest is all the rest, right?
Exactly.
So we're going to move over to some signature questions because I cannot wait to hear these answers.
Okay.
So I have a feeling I kind of have a little bit of an idea of the first one. So I love to ask these questions because what I've learned since is that our listeners are writing these down and creating their own post-its from nice. Different speakers. So I have a bunch of them, and this is the one that I've been having lately that it was, it says, "This is happening. This is happening." What is your post-it that we should keep on our desk, either as a reminder of happiness, happiness in the workplace, even the idea of choice?
So I've had post-its on my desk over times. And there's been a few of them. The one last year was, "I love you." Yeah. The one after that was, "You are enough." And the last one is something that I say to my son every single morning: always be kind, always be curious, and always be kind to yourself.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a really good one. You've been delving into this. I love that you're working or exploring centarians and even their secret sauce for staying alive and well, right? They're not just white knuckling it. "Oh, I made it to 100 and here I am miserable." So what literature books might we want to explore that you have torture test for us?
Okay. So there's a bunch of things. So Arthur Brooks, really good stuff. Go to arthurbrooks.com. He has a whole bunch of information. Really, really great. He's a professor at Harvard on, you know, positivity, mm-hmm. and he's amazing. Martin Seligman, the father of positive psychology.
Yes.
I took his Coursera course. Absolutely amazing. Anyone can take it for free. So yeah, exactly. You don't have to sign up if you don't want, you know, the grading, but yeah, it's great stuff. Sean Acor, he wrote the book, The Happiness Advantage. Really great book. What else? I was inspired by, there's a Netflix documentary on the Blue Zones, mm-hmm. where they go into the lives of the centenarians. My big brother was actually inspired by that. And he was like, I'm eating a lot of bread and now I'm inspired to make my own bread. And what happened was he actually inspired me to make my own bread. So now we're on this bread journey together and we're eating healthier. We're living better. And yeah, it's like, there's so much information, Lauren, to just being happy. And, you know, there's one specific little piece of information, that I love to use. And I do this with my son every night. And Martin Seligman came up with this tool called Three Good Things. And so at the end of every day, you write down three good things that happened to you and how it changed you, how it made you feel. And man, after doing this for a month, because I didn't believe it. Like when I first read this, I was like,
sure.
Okay. So according to Martin Seligman, after 21 days, which is the usual time it takes to create a habit, mm-hmm. it causes neuroplasticity in your brain and changes your mindset to be happier. And it can last almost up to 6 months. I was like, get the heck out of here. I don't believe this. So I decided to do the experiment myself. And sure enough, I was like, wow, this is amazing. So, and that was actually one of the positivity experiments that I did with my teams. I went to them and I started to share a moment of gratitude. And in turn, over time, this happened every single day.
Mm.
Every morning, people shared a moment of gratitude and called it the gratitude corner.
The gratitude corner.
And to this day, a year and a half later, it's still happening.
All right. Your walk-up song. I could
go on with more stuff, but I know we don't have a lot of time.
Oh my goodness. I mean, I'm going to have to go and like steal everything from your library. What is your walk-up song? What is that thing that like of all the things, I mean, you probably have playlists and playlists and playlists of like happy songs, but I got to ask you, what's your number one?
My number one always goes to Happy by Pharrell Williams.
I knew it.
It's always a groovy tune. It always puts me in a good mood.
It is a groovy tune. Anthony, thank you so much. Thank you for everything that you have done over the course of time. Thank you for reconnecting with me after a big hiatus. And I'm so happy, happy, literally and figuratively, that we're friends and that we are in each other's lives to support each other, because that's what it's all about. And
I appreciate you, Lauren. I'm excited
for Bowtie and all that comes with it. So
thank you so much.
Dearest listeners, happy ears and to you after this episode. And if you liked it, you know what I'm going to say. Don't forget to subscribe and please write us an Apple Podcast review. As I mentioned to you last week, we are now in the top 1.5% of podcasts globally. And you know what? That makes me so happy, not because we're growing, but because people are enjoying this and getting value out of it and changing the way that they think about their careers and work and not necessarily signing up for any of that, like, wah, wah, wah. So really, really thrilled to have you as our listeners, and we care about you and love you. If you have any questions, you can always reach me at lauren@portfoliorocket.com. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining today. We appreciate your listening ears, big time. We ask this, use these tools, not tomorrow, right now, and share them by spreading the love, leaving us a rating and subscribe so you don't miss the next career blast in a half. Most of all, thank you for you.